Hi, I'm Mel Majoros. I am a six-year cancer survivor. My blog, The Cancer Warrior, is one of the top 10 breast cancer blogs, according to blogs.com. I'm here to bring a fresh, upbeat perspective to a topic that to some may seem scary. A positive mental attitude got me through my cancer, and I hope to share that with you. So today we are talking about cancer retreats with Janine Patton-Coble. She is the founder of Little Pink Houses of Hope. How are you today, Janine?
I'm doing good, Mel. How are you?
Great. I caught you in the middle of a retreat, so good times for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, you're a survivor. So let's start off. I was watching a little bit about you on your website, littlepink.org. Tell me a little bit about your cancer journey.
So I was diagnosed about 5 years ago, actually, with stage 3 breast cancer.
Okay.
And that journey for me was a journey that probably looks like a lot of people, about a year and a half of treatment. And, you know, the typical things, chemo, radiation, numerous surgeries. And at the end of that journey, there was a really, really clear gap in services for husbands and children that my family recognized, and I recognized through various support mechanisms that I was currently in. And so Little Pink Houses of Hope was really kind of born out of that place of there's a gap in services for husbands and kids that is a kind of an organic place. You know, how can they organically find people to talk about the journey with and get support with without feeling kind of tied into a clinical setting?
Right.
It's a very difficult setting for a lot of people to be in. So ours is really just an organic environment for people to find support.
Well, I was watching the little video on your website. Can you tell me a little bit about how that, like your actual moment, because you talked about your moment on your website, how you decided to come up with Little Pink Houses of Hope?
Oh, I would love to say I figured it out and I came up with it, but my story really lends itself to the fact that during probably the absolute worst moment of my life, mm-hmm. on the day when I had to tell my son that I had cancer, he was 11 at the time, and I was really just trying to figure out what the right words were. So I went for a run and tried to just, you know, get out of my head and figure out the right words. And as I was running, I ran across an old abandoned compound of houses at the beach. We were at the beach on vacation. And just, you know, curiosity, it was a great thing. It was a great distraction. It caused me to not think for a minute about what I had to say to my child. And I just kind of kept running around, and I was completely moved by the fact that there was all of these abandoned houses that were oceanfront, and it just seemed sad, and it just seemed like, you know, they could be filled up with people. And as I was running away, I was hit, struck, moved by a very, very strong and powerful calling, mm-hmm. to create a place like this for cancer patients to come. Now, our website, that's kind of the story on our website. What's not on our website,
yes.
is I didn't get up and immediately say, oh, I'm going to go do this.
Well, of course.
I actually got up and immediately thought to myself, oh, no, maybe my cancer's moved to my brain. There's no way I can be, you know, having callings and visions and stuff like that. It seemed very, very crazy that, you know, I would have a calling like that, or that I would feel like God was talking to me. So, but over the course of the year that I was in treatment, it just became really, really crystal clear that that was the direction that my life was supposed to take. And ever since I've said yes, the fabric and texture of my life has totally changed.
Now, what were you doing before that?
I was a high school history teacher for years and years, and then I became a curriculum director for a local school district, and then actually went to the State Department, or the Department of Public Instruction in North Carolina, and was a trainer of teachers throughout the state. So I had had a really stable career up until that point. So Little Pink Houses of Hope coming along didn't really fit into any of that stability.
Right.
It fit into the whole idea of let go and let God, and just kind of, you know, giving your trust into the goodness and, you know, the idea that the world is good and true and right and kind, and that we're all here to help each other. So took the leap of faith and started Little Pink.
Wow, that's just amazing.
Wow.
Is it kind of weird that you started Because I know, like, a lot of survivors, they get an epiphany or, you know, a calling, as it were, as I'm doing my radio show. That's one of the things I can relate to about your Little Houses of Hope. Do you feel that? Where was I going to say? There's a chemo brain coming through.
It's all right. I have chemo brain all the time. So any listener out there, it's real, it's valid. We agree.
It is real and it is valid. Did you find it was so bizarre going from like your stable, normal job to all of a sudden, here I am, I'm finding houses for cancer survivors? Because that's from what, you know, I would say that's kind of one extreme to other. You're very stable and then it's just like organization or...
Yeah, it was a totally, I mean, it was a left-hand turn to Albuquerque, as Bugs Bunny would say. It really, truly was such a change. And the biggest change having to be when you believe in something and you know that it's possible and you can dream it and you can see it and it's tangible and you can feel it and you know that it can happen. You know, usually when you know that, isn't when there's money or isn't when there's tons of support. It's when your heart, you know, it's deep in your heart that you believe it and you feel it. And, you know, it's the bizarre part is actually trusting yourself enough to be able to go out and say, no, this is what I'm going to do. Even when there's numerous people saying,
that's crazy. What are you talking about?
That's crazy. Yeah, I tell this story all the time that I have my husband, who none of this universe is possible without him.
Of course.
But my husband, in the very beginning, you know, here he's got this wife who I'm bald, I'm barely sleeping, I'm, you know, have a laptop in my lap planning all of this. Mm-hmm. And all he really wanted was just for me to get better.
Right.
You know, and he's was waiting for, it's wonderful that God spoke to me, but he would really like a sticky note from God to tell him, like, what's coming.
Couldn't have we both been there at the time so I could have seen this whole thing coming? Exactly.
Exactly. So, but I will say that the one thing I have learned that has been probably the most profound thing is that I really, truly have this unbelievable front row seat to the goodness in the world. The people who donate their houses, the families that come, and they come in a vulnerable place. You know, they're in the middle of treatment and they're vulnerable. And, you know, the local community where there's an outpouring, all of our volunteers who come for the week and, you know, give a week of service. I have the best seat in the house, that's for sure.
So how did you had this calling. Now, how did you put it forth, like you just said, okay, well, this is a great idea, but how does one start that? Did you just go around your local community? I mean, that's a big undertaking.
No, because the model is a beach-related model, and I actually live about 3 hours from the beach, so I wasn't even close to where I was going to do any of this stuff, making it all much more easy. What I did is I reached out to kind of the first wave was to some local beach communities, and tried to really hook up with some people who were in the real estate business, the rental property business. And, you know, just tried to talk to them about my story. And I think one of the reasons that we've been able to be successful in a lot of places is because we typically don't go in and ask for anything. We go in and just talk about the story of who we're going to serve and how we're going to help. And in that environment, it's amazing what the person on the other side of the table will come up with as to how they want to help. Usually it's way more than I ever even dreamed because, you know, they can feel this. We call it a 1 degree away from service. So if you've ever heard that idea of the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon.
Yes.
Well, in our organization, you're 1 degree away from the people that you're helping. So you are directly knowing who you're helping. And that's a very real feeling and tangible quality for people to be able to accept and really just be able to become a part of. And they feel like family. You know, these local businesses and communities and beach house owners, they're all part of this big little thing family now.
That's awesome. So you don't just go, hey, your house looks really nice. Can I just have, you know, family?
No, I don't do that. And, you know, it's interesting. I told... I have local coordinators now in various locations where we have retreats now, because we're in 14 different locations in eight different states, and we've grown very, very fast. But I tell local coordinators all the time, I said, you're going to walk in and you're going to think that you need this. Like, you have to have this. Like, in your head, you want a boat cruise.
Right.
And so you're going to go to, and you're going to talk to the boat cruise guy, and he might blow you off. And I said, and what I need you to remember is that God's already written the story of what it's going to look like. So if that person says no, it's only because the right person is still waiting to say yes.
Exactly. Wow, that's great. Yeah. That's a great analogy. Because it's hard. It's hard sometimes asking for donations, and everyone's like, "Well, no, I can't do it." But you're right. There's always somebody right around the corner who's ready to help you.
There is, and I think that especially when you're starting something new, and you lead with your story and you lead with your heart. And you realize that for every interaction you have, if you already have ordained what the end result is,
right,
you ruin the opportunity that's in front of you. So, you know, by saying, you know, I had a really great meeting one time with a CEO of a major bridal company in the United States. And we had a great conversation. And I sat at the table with him and told him, I said, I have no idea where this goes with us, if you become a financial supporter or whatever the case may be. But I know we're here for a reason together today.
Right.
And I think that's how things should play out, because I think it's about being ridiculously present with the people that are right in front of you. And so, you know, the most important thing in my world on any given day is not necessarily the most important thing in somebody else's. So to try to be present to see what they need, because that's what, I mean, I'm a true believer that that's what God has called us each to do, is be present in the lives of others and, you know, to be able to serve whenever we can.
I agree. Now, how did your, did you actually take a retreat yourself before you decided upon this, or this was your when you're doing your vacation, you were just like, oh, these houses need to be used?
No, it was that. It was the second. It was the latter. It was, these houses need to be used.
I'm one of those people where I'd be like, you know, I'd like to check this out just to make sure it's all right for everybody. But that's just me.
No. I am 100 miles an hour, full barrel straight ahead. And, we looked to see if there was any other organization in the country doing it, and there is not. Mm-hmm. There's similar things in the pediatric cancer community,
right,
which are wonderful, wonderful programs, but there's really nothing in the breast cancer community, the adult community, for entire families for a week to really get away, where everything's taken care of. In an environment where you have 10 other families coming at the same time.
Oh.
So we're not a
single,
you know, what's your dream vacation, we'll send you there.
Right.
We have a retreat location, and we get 10 to 12 houses donated the weeks that we're there. You know, like you said at the top of the interview, I'm in the middle of a retreat, so I'm currently in Bethany Beach, Delaware.
Nice.
And so we have, you know, 11 properties that have been donated here. We have 10 families from all over the country who are here, and they are all here, and they are finding similarities. So husbands have other husbands to talk to.
Nice.
It's helped normalize it for children. It's, you know, the women are developing an unbelievable support network that will last long after they leave here.
Okay, so
that's a different part of our model than any other program.
So take me through a retreat. I'm with my husband and kids, and I go to your retreat, as you are in Delaware right now. Besides, you know, finding a nice house to stay in on the beach, what other things will be going on?
So we manage in every location that we go to put together the best vacation you can possibly fathom. And we take care of all of the expenses.
Okay.
So the week is 100% free for all family members to attend. And so we typically do a morning activity, we do a common lunch, we do a common dinner, and we do a nighttime activity. And what that allows is that allows for people to sleep in the morning.
Right.
And,
that's,
you know,
good.
Mm-hmm. Or if you're one of those people who wants to get at 5 a.m. to see the sunrise, all the more power to you.
I don't know any of those people, but that's okay.
Yeah, I'm clearly not either. And then we have the morning activity, and our morning activities range from just good old-fashioned a day at the beach to this morning we went stand-up paddleboarding. We'll do kayaking. We're going out on a headboat to go fishing throughout the week. And, you know, all of our activities are really designed to be something that when you're knee-deep in this process of chemo and radiation mm-hmm. and surgeries and all of that sort of thing, and you kind of feel like, I just don't know if I can do a whole lot.
Right.
You come to our retreat, and the physical difference in the women from Sunday to Saturday is remarkable. It's amazing what a little sun will do, what a little rest will do. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, time with your family that you've just totally bonded and connected. And then you've been doing some activities that maybe you didn't think you could do. So right. you feel very empowered. Most of our moms feel very empowered when they leave. And then we do, like you said, we do common meals because we are family. So we eat together, and then we usually have some form of a nighttime activity. That can be, last night it was Survivor Island kind of Olympic-style games out on the beach, which was hysterical. Tonight we have a crab chicken, crab feast down right on the beach, that sort of thing. So we try, everything is family-oriented. Tomorrow night we have date night for mom and dad, and we watch the kids. And we send all the moms off to makeup and mocktails is what we call it. And they get all gussied up in the afternoon for their hot date.
Nice.
So it's a series of events on a schedule. And, you know, the amazing thing is everything on our schedule is 100% optional.
Right.
So we do not require anybody to come to anything. And what we find is everybody comes to everything.
Well, they're probably just curious. I mean, figuring, seeing other people do stuff. And as you know, cancer can be very isolating. So actually, you know, the husbands having someone to talk to as well as the cancer survivors themselves, you know, it, like you said, it's a lot different sitting around the dinner table talking to someone who knows what you're going through than sitting in, you know, a meeting room talking, you know.
And, you know, the other thing we find, especially with caretakers and with kids, is that, you know, you mentioned it is isolating. And especially for caretakers, what we find is that it's not necessarily about saying, okay, we're going to talk about our feelings. It's about giving them fishing poles, sending them out on a pier, and they're going to talk.
Oh, yes.
Because for the first time, they're with people that get it. And that's an incredibly protective, safe place to be. And they, like I said, they form really, really strong, tight networks of support.
That's just awesome. That's just awesome. Now tell me, well, what is the most amazing story that you can tell me from one of your survivors that has happened? Or is it just every group is different?
Oh, gosh. We do this meeting every night in our volunteer house, and we go around the room, and we do what's the best part of your day.
Oh.
And I believe that the meeting gets longer and longer and longer every day we're here, because there's just so many opportunities to have that. And so, you know, everything from a woman who has given up, and, you know, we had a woman at one of our most recent retreats who came on the retreat, and on Monday she said, you know, I've pretty much just given up. This is going to be my last vacation with my son.
Oh, my goodness.
And, you know, she's got a 16-year-old son. And she was just tired. She was so tired. And the battle had been so hard, and she was a single mom, and she was exhausted. And there was another single mom on that retreat, and the two of them became fast friends. And at the end of the retreat, you know, the two of them had a conversation, and we all talked about it. And she goes, you know, this person coming to the retreat saved my life.
Wow.
Because I'm not going to give up.
Ooh, I got goosebumps.
Yeah. And, you know, everything from the big story like that.
Right.
To the really small story of a kid who is feeling alone and isolated, and all of a sudden you turn and you look, and they're walking down the beach with another kid who's at the retreat. And, you know, they will tell you on that last night. We have so many of our kids that say to us, especially teenage, like 10 to 16, 17, 18 year old, that age group. Mm-hmm. They said, you know, I really realize I'm not alone.
Right.
And, you know, there's power in all of those, all the way up to the woman who's giggling like a crazy girl because she's paddling and she can't believe she did it. And it's, you know, she can't wait to post pictures on Facebook to show everybody that she's feeling good today, you know, after constantly feeling so poorly. So, yeah, I have an arsenal of stories. So
how do you, let's go to how survivors can sign up or register, or how does that work?
Yeah, so we have a completely online process mm-hmm. on our website where patients who are currently undergoing treatment can go ahead and they can do the online application. We've made the application really easy. We just feel like when you're in that space, it's difficult to do the 52-page application.
Yes.
So we don't do that.
Well, the last thing we want to look at when we're going through treatment is more paperwork.
Exactly. So the application is really easy. It's online. And then we have an acceptance committee that looks through every single application. They read every single word on every single application.
Oh.
And we have a large number of applications. We have about 1,000 applications
wow.
each year. Yeah. So, and we will, this year we'll do 120 free vacations around the country.
Wow.
Cause we have 14 retreats and all over the place. So part of that process of choosing does have to do with housing. Since we are using donated housing, there is some limitation there in terms of just size of family.
Right.
You know, dependent on a particular house that's been donated. But we do have some locations where our smallest house is a 5-bedroom house.
Oh.
You know, so we're able to take really, really large families in some of those retreats as well. We try to group sometimes some really rare cancers together. So mm-hmm. inflammatory breast cancer is one that we have found that a lot of the women who are undergoing that particular type of breast cancer, difficult for them to find other people who have it. So we try to group them together in one retreat each year, or at least have a couple of them so that they will have a chance to meet somebody else going through it. And then because we do programming and activities, we also try to sort of group kids together as well. So our last retreat we had in the Outer Banks, we had 20 children under the age of 10.
Whoa.
Yes. So everything was about pirates. We had a pirate cruise, a pirate come visit us, but by grouping children, we're really able to offer some better quality programming for the children who are there and for the parents as well. So wow. all of those factors go into it. But the best decision I ever made within this organization is not being part of that experiment.
I have to say that has to be tough, picking, you know, person A over person B. How do you decide that? I mean, that's.
Yeah, it is. And like I said, they have a whole list of criteria that they go by in
right.
that process so that the process is very fair and very unbiased for anyone who applies.
Of course. Now, how do you, and you know, I'm looking at all your retreats and these are some amazing places that you have.
I know.
And you go to every single one of these?
I do not. So
oh, okay.
The first few years I did
mm-hmm.
Because I was, you know, busy starting the organization. And then last year, which was our third year, I mm-hmm. spent a good portion of the year training additional people to take over the retreat director role at retreats.
Okay.
And this year that we're currently in, that's just started, we have 14 retreats. I will be on 6 of the 14.
Oh, nice. And your husband's like, thank goodness.
My husband what?
I said your husband will be like, thank goodness, because I like you at home sometimes.
So here's the funny story.
Okay.
So not really. So the reason I'm only doing 6 out of 14 is because I'm getting ready to get in my car on June the 11th.
Okay.
And I'm doing an 11,000-mile cross-country car road trip for Little Pink that's about awareness
awesome.
And fundraising of who we are.
Excellent.
And it's really, you know, it's a great trip were a hope. I'll be gone for 2 months. So yeah, no, he's not. It's not necessarily that I'm coming homeless.
You're like, honey, there's good news and bad news.
Exactly. He's going to join me for part of the trip.
Good.
But the great thing is that what we have is we have alumni who came through our program. They are actually hosting awareness events in their own hometowns.
Awesome.
So that is what the tour is. It's a way to help spotlight how they're thriving and how well they're doing, but also giving them a chance to take this organization that they love dearly and, you know, share it with their own community.
Now, will that,
so that's really the purpose of the tour.
Will that information be posted on your Facebook page or your website?
It will, yes. Okay. We're in the process of getting that posted this weekend.
Okay.
We have two retreats currently going on this week, one in Bethany Beach and one in Ocean City. And as soon as these two are over, our whole big summer tour of hope rolls out. And we have a lot of places on the tour that are at public events. So if people or individuals are interested in coming, they actually can attend events.
Awesome. Yeah, I was like, where is this? I want to post a little bit about it on my Facebook page, but I'm looking forward to seeing more about that. Now, do you have a
Absolutely.
Pink car that you're going across country in?
I do.
You do?
I do. We have a wonderful, I have a wonderful board chair who is a car deal, owner of a car dealership.
Excellent.
And he has outfitted us with a brand new GMC Acadia, and
Ooh.
It's all little pinked out, as they call it.
That's
so
awesome.
It looks great. Yeah, you'll see us on the road. If you see us on the road, feel free to take pictures and send it back to our Facebook. We'd love to know if you've seen where we are.
Now, where are you starting from and heading to or back to?
I am starting in North Carolina,
mm-hmm.
which is where we're headquartered. Our first stop is actually in Baltimore, Maryland.
Oh, okay.
And it is being hosted by our youngest survivor, Lindsay, who is 26. And, so that's where we start the tour. We go all the way up to Boston, all the way across the Midwest, all the way to the state of Washington, down the coast of California, back through Texas, all the way across the country, 40 states.
Wow. Make sure that air conditioning is working this summer.
Woo. I know. I'm going to be very happy to have a car with great air conditioning.
Oh, yes. I'm sure those Acadias are fantastic.
They are. They're really, really nice.
And is it just going to be you and a partner in crime, as it were?
I have a partner in crime pretty much the entire trip. So I have
nice.
Various people that are jumping in and jumping out of the car along the 11,000 miles. So I will get a break in the driving. I'll have somebody helping me. So we'll try to stay out of as much trouble as we possibly can.
Sure you will, Janine. I'm sure.
We will. But no, we're really looking forward to being able to have an opportunity to go across the country and meet tons of women that really might need our services and might not have any idea who we are and have never heard of us. We don't use any of our nonprofit dollars for national advertising or anything like that. And so this really allows us to go to the local communities where people live.
That's
and
awesome.
We're really looking forward to that.
I'm looking forward to checking out all the cities that you go to, and maybe you'll pick up an extra city or two to host another Little Pink retreat.
Absolutely. We are, like I said, we have 14 retreats. We're predominantly on the East Coast. We have one in the Virgin Islands, one in Alabama, and one in California. Those are our locations that are not necessarily East Coast.
Right.
And we are really looking to geographically expand into Texas and into California.
Oh, yes.
And possibly Colorado. So, yeah, this trip will also give us an opportunity to have some exposure there, which will be nice.
Excellent. Well, This half hour flew by. I mean, I know you're on the beach and all, you're thinking, God, I got to get back to the beach because, you know, it is the beach and all. But I do want to thank you for taking your time out. It's littlepink.org is your website.
Yes,
and it's
yep.
the same on Facebook, right? Ma'am. Did
yes.
you just ma'am me? Really?
I'm from the South. So we are littlepink.org, and people can find us on Facebook and Twitter, and we're Little Pink Hope on Twitter.
Excellent. Well, hang on. Yes. I'm going to wrap up like I usually do. This is Mel Majoros. I am the Cancer Warrior. You can always find me on Facebook because I am a Facebook junkie. Follow me on Twitter at Mel Majoros. Check out my blog, thecancerwarrior.blogspot.com. And as always, life looks pretty good from where I'm sitting. Sending you good vibes. It's the Cancer Warrior on EmpowerRadio.com.